This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Well, this is Betting Weekly Extra Time, Europa League and Europa Conference League edition. We're down to the last 16, of course, in both competitions, and we will know all of the quarterfinalists by Thursday night. You are with Dan Roebuck and returning RJ, Steve Wiss and Will White. Steve, only one away winner last week, I think, in the Europa League, only two home winners in the Conference League. We had some wide margin victories, some 4-0, some 5-1, some big away wins as well. Might only be 6, 7, 8 ties in the balance across the two competitions. It's an extra thing for bettors to consider and think about, isn't it, when it comes to these competitions?
Yeah, hello, Dan, Will and RJ. It was a profitable week for us on the show last week on Europa League and Conference League. And you're right, there were some big beatings, weren't they? And I think what you've got to do with these matches is look at each one individually and work out who is still going to show some fight and go for it and who's kind of given up the ghost. But in some other instances, the gulf in quality might be just too much anyway. So as always with soccer, there's no one answer, is there? You've got to look and delve into each match beneath the surface. And that's what we do here on the app Because We Win.
Will, you were brilliant last week. A sweep for you when it came to the two competitions. Not easy as well, just looking at some of the prices for the match prices, the money line and indeed overs and unders. So well played last week. You confident this week you're doing something similar?
Not as confident. The card doesn't look as attractive to me, mainly because of those overs picks that looked so attractive last week. A lot of those games are very one-sided, and so... yeah, we'll come on to that later. I do have a pick in one of those games. But the strange thing about those three overs that all won is that both teams to score no also copped in all three. So they were the definition of one-sided affairs. But hopefully we'll find some value in this week's card.
Yeah, it's interesting that because you always think that they're correlated and you think, well, if I play that, I can play them both and maybe double mistakes. And sometimes it doesn't happen that way because it might just be one team that covers the overs, which we saw last week, as you mentioned. And overs, RJ, was 2-4, both in the Europa League when it comes to over 2.5 and over 3.5, 6 of the 8 over 3.5. Conference League was a little bit different, as Will has alluded to there. Both teams to score no in 5 of them, but I guess teams have got to go for it to a certain extent in second legs. Are we envisaging more goals this time around in these fixtures on Thursday?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's tough not to. It depends on the situation, right, and the matchups, and we'll get into that. But yeah, it was a good show last week for everyone. So kudos to everyone for great work and tipping in the first leg. And I think, yeah, I like the look of goals a lot here in the second legs. And I like the look of goals mainly in Europa to begin with. Even over the last few seasons, we historically drift towards overs versus unders. And yeah, looking forward to getting into that in the next few minutes.
Yeah, overs is very much a theme over the course of this show. The next half an hour, 40 minutes or so, I think all of our picks are overs bar one. And that's a money line play rather than unders. So we're hoping for goals once again. Just before we get into the picks, just want to get your thoughts on the Serie A teams that are playing in Europe. An awful lot of chat about whether England are going to get a fifth Champions League spot. The Premier League is going to get that fifth Champions League spot. Italy currently in pole position to do so because of the performances, not just in the Champions League, but in the Europa League and the Conference League as well. And Steve, we've got three teams, of course, from Serie A who potentially can all make it through to the quarterfinals here. So the draw is going to be interesting if they do go through. They're all favourites to make the last 8. That's Milan, who are plus 650 to win the competition. Roma, plus 1,200 to win the Europa League. And Atalanta, plus 1,400. They're in a good spot at the moment, aren't they, in Italy, when it comes to these competitions?
Well, here's a quick question for you, Dan. Who was the last Italian team to win the Europa League or UEFA Cup, as it was once known?
I'm going to say I don't think they've ever won the Europa League since it's I guess I think you might be going back to something like an Inter or a Lazio. Was it Parma who won it? I can't remember.
Parma.
Was that the Cup Winners' Cup? Yeah,
Palmer, 1998-99 season, beat Marseille 3-0 in the final at Luzhniki Stadium in Moscow.
Crikey, yeah.
That Palmer team was a great team, wasn't it?
Yeah, was that the one with Tino Asprilla in and with Crespo?
It had like Buffon, did it have it? Yeah. It had Cannavaro, and it was a hell of a time.
That's like $1,000 Jeopardy question. That's a tough one. Look at
I mean, having worked on the Europa League for a long time since it was rebranded and UEFA Cup prior to that, we always thought that Italian teams, I don't know, RJ and Will, what you think about this, you know, that they didn't really take it seriously unless they just sort of looked out and suddenly they were in the semi-finals. Spanish teams was very, very different. And Italian teams, it was like, well, you know, we're not, you know, Serie A was such the be-all and end-all. Champions League aside, the Europa League, UEFA Cup as it was, we weren't that interested. Will, do you think that was true in the past? Has it changed now?
I think it's completely changed now. Yeah, I think it's almost the other way around. Like you alluded to, the Spanish teams taking it seriously and the Italian teams not. Well, it's often the Spanish teams that you'll see in these competitions that are rotating, the likes of Betis and Villarreal. Villarreal have kind of been going stronger since they got the new manager back in, and Betis will always rotate in this competition. So in regards to the Italian teams specifically this year, I'm shocked to see Milan so much shorter than Atalanta and Roma. I know Atalanta have got a very difficult home leg at home to Sporting Lisbon coming up, and so they haven't qualified yet, and Milan certainly have, and Roma you'd like to think have as well. But my ratings have that all three teams relatively similar ratings, so Milan being half the price, I'm guessing Daniele will disagree with this, but Milan being half the price is outrageous in my view.
RJ, thoughts on Italian sides? So I've worked it out around about plus 260, any Italian team to win the Europa League.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I think Atalanta, especially depending on how the setup is and who they get at home, right? They're very, very strong at home this most recently, right? And I like them. If I were to have any Italian team to advance the furthest, it'd probably be Atalanta. I don't really have as much confidence in Roma, and I think Slavia could give AC Milan a little bit of a go here in the second leg. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I think they'll advance. But you know, Atalanta is very intriguing to me. What's the price?
The problem, Dan.
Atalanta right. Plus 1400 to win it.
Mm. We tipped them up. We were already on them at plus 2500, yeah. I think. Yeah. Before the draw. Yeah. So
they're in our portfolio. Steve. Mm.
It's just the two favourites in this competition, Liverpool and Leverkusen, are seriously high quality sides who wouldn't be out of place.
This is where the draw comes in, though, isn't it?
If the draw, exactly. Yeah. Look, if we get, just say we get Leverkusen, Liverpool in the quarter final, my gosh, you want to be on the opposite side of the draw. Yeah. And you will be thinking, anyone would then think we can make the final. So, like I said, with the Champions League show earlier in the week, if you're thinking about betting outright, I just think unless you fancy rolling that dice, you've got to wait until this draw's made.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. And Fiorentina, we should have a brief word on because they are plus 400 to win the Conference League. And Villa were pretty awful against Ajax. If Villa somehow get knocked out and they were thumped by Spurs at the weekend in the Premier League, Fiorentina would be favourites, wouldn't they?
Famous last words, Villa aren't getting knocked out. They rotate quite heavily. Ajax. I mean, come on, Ajax. Ajax are still not up to much in my view. But Fiorentina, I'm kind of torn on Fiorentina because, you know, I don't think there's that much between Fenerbahce and Fiorentina, and Fenerbahce double the price. And then maybe even a team like Club Bruges, for example, I have similarly rated to Fiorentina, which would probably shock quite a few people, but they're four or five times the price. So I think Fiorentina are a good team, but I think, you know, they're certainly short enough.
Crikey, if Club Brugge get through, what on earth is Ronny Dyler going to do, Steve, if they get through a fine European competition?
Do you know what, though? I've not got a bet on the Molde game this week, but I've got a horrible feeling that Club Brugge will go through against them. I hope I'm wrong. But yeah, I nearly actually added an outright for the Conference League on this show, and you know who it's going to be on? Lille, because I really quite like the direction they're going in. I don't think they fear anyone at the moment. Villa, though, look, at the minute they seem in a bit of a weird phase mentally. I think they're a bit distracted by the Premier League. But if they get to, say, semi-final or final, then Yeah, they are the standout side, aren't they?
Yeah, not quite sure how we've diverted to talking about Lille and Villa from our Italian Serie A section, but that's how we roll sometimes. Let's get some selections, shall we? We've got some really good picks from the boys. They were brilliant last week in the first leg of these round of 16 ties. So let's hope for a similar amount of profit. I think the show is running a profit, Steve, Europa League show. Do we push into the plus, I think?
Yeah, we're back in the profit. You know, it's been ups and downs. There's been some outrights that have let us down. But we've generally done pretty well on this show this year.
Yeah, we're in profit. Let's hope that will just kick on a little bit over the course of the Thursday games. We're going to start with Europa League, Rangers against Benfica, which is 1:45 Eastern time this week. Don't forget, Rangers are plus 175, Benfica plus 145 here, the favourites, and the draw plus 262-2 from the first leg. Will Rangers once again proving, you know, what a good European side they've become over the last few years. They seem to surprise. They can maybe stumble in Scottish football, but they always seem to have a happy knack of being competitive in European football. What do you make of Rangers? They are second favourites against Benfica at home. And what's your play?
I think it's an exciting tie. I think you've got it set up really nicely. Rangers strong, typically strong at home in European competition. Benfica, potentially dodgy travellers, but almost certainly the better team. And the Asian handicap line's been set at draw no bet, so it's set up very nicely. I'm looking into the goals market here, though. I've got a couple of overs trends that I think play into our favour. 6 of 8 over 2.5 in the second legs of the last playoff round in this competition, and then 6 of 8 again over 2.5 in the first legs last week. So I think it's hard to look for bets and look for value in unders, especially because you'd expect the second legs to be more open than the first. And so I'm kind of intrigued by this one relative to the first leg, where the line was also over under 2.75. There were 4 goals in that game, 3.72 combined XG, 33 shots, 10 shots on target. They'll be playing in front of an amped up Ibrox crowd. And the line for the second leg has also been set at 2.75. It just kind of feels a bit wrong to me. Maybe the line makers are looking at the game state and kind of thinking that both teams are going to be cautious, at least at the beginning before a goal scored, and then maybe from there it'll open up. But Benfica, 18 of their last 20 games have gone over 2.5 goals. You know, this is a very, very attacking team. The first game was so intense. Really hard to see this going under. Game state is the one concern. You know, if this stays 0-0 for the first half an hour, 45 minutes, I'd start to get concerned. But I'm looking to stick to the same recipe as last week. I'm looking to follow the overs trends that are strong with games involving two attacking coaches. And I think this is one. So over 2.75 minus 113.
Slavia Prague, Milan for RJ to tackle for us here. Milan are favourites to win in the Czech capital at plus 120, the host plus 205, the draw plus 275. Slavia plus 900 to qualify. They did get to 3-2 at San Siro last week before that Pulisic late strike. Milan therefore have the advantage. But as we were talking about outrights with Serie A teams, RJ, I mean, you tend to think that Slavia might have a go at Milan here. If you can get yourself on, yeah.
So this is a team, yeah, almost out of red there. Yeah, so this is a
two team. Different Slavia competitions, so you wouldn't have been banned. But anyway,
that's
go
true.
On.
That's true. so Slavia at home, 3+ goals in their last 4 out of their last 5 home matches. It's not a side to be taken lightly. And I mean, look what they've done on the road against this strong Milan team. I expect, again, like Will said in the Rangers Benfica preview, this line seems off to me. I mean, there's a team that Slavia at home who's been very, very lethal. Has to just go for it, right? 2-goal deficit, and I expect them to do that. I expect them to get on the net. I like both teams to score and over 2.5. I'm not sure what the price is, but looking at just from a situational perspective, this is a match that has the looks of an open action-packed match. I mean, even Slavia Prague's coach after the match was like, this is going to be a vigorous second leg. Right? We're going to go for it in front of our home fans. We're going to use them as motivation. They had a 4-0 win over the weekend against Teplice, right? Domestically, they have strong domestic talent, right? from Czech Republic that are mainly, that's what their roster is primarily made of. And I see nothing but a goal fest here, right? To be honest. And I don't want to jinx myself, but I could see this like a ladder type play that we've talked about in the past. And I could see this get over. I could see a 2-1 game at halftime in favor of either side, to be honest.
Over 2.75 goals minus 115 for Slavia Prague. I mean, I completely agree. Can't see anything other than goals in this one. And the same rules apply for Villarreal Marseille, which is a 1:45 Eastern kickoff as well on Thursday. Villarreal plus 120, Marseille plus 195 have been brilliant. The new coach has come in, and we've managed to get on that one, Steve, on a few occasions. And all three of you guys were tipping in this game last week, and all three bets cashed. You're the one that's sticking with Villarreal Marseille, but it's tried and tested, isn't it, with these two sides?
Yeah, I backed over three goals at a big price in this match last week, plus 150, and I'm going to stick with the same line. Just minus 122 on this occasion, but that's because the game state is completely obvious what Villarreal have got to do. They're 4-0 down. And I think when you're in this position, you've got to work out, have they kind of given up? Or, you know, what is the big danger here? And the big danger is if sort of Marseille go 1 or 2-0 up, I suppose. And then it's obviously done, isn't it? But I really think Villarreal play one way, and it's pretty offensive. They, you know, had that match against Betis at the weekend. They won 3-2. Bit annoyed I wasn't on the overs for that, really. I just thought they might have a bit of a come down after Thursday night. But since Marcelino took over at Villarreal, I mean, they average around 3.5 goals per game in all competitions. They've got goals in them, but they concede a lot as well. And, you know, Marseille last week, he had a bit of a rude reception, didn't he? He had to have an armed bodyguard into the Stade Velodrome. But Marseille were bang up for it. I think they wanted to embarrass him. And I think they want to, you know, stick that knife in and twist it even further. Rub salt into the wound. I think Marseille would love to do that here. So I think, don't think they're just going to sit back and play for a 0-0 draw. I think Villarreal will be straight out early on and take a lot of risks. Might get on the score sheet. I actually hope Villarreal get the first goal here. That just makes the game a bit more interesting. But I mean, over three Asian goals just sticks out to me. There's surely at least three goals one way or the other in this game. And, you know, stick with the tried and tested formula, really. I mean, Villarreal have to score four goals. Otherwise, they're out, whatever. So, at very worst, I've got a consolation. If I lose, they lose. So, which would make me feel a little bit better. It'd be a crumb of comfort. But it's interesting. I did a bit of research for this game, and Alberto Moreno got sent off last week after a 16-minute cameo. He's done a bit of an RJ here. He's just done exactly the same at the weekend in a different competition. So he's got two reds in two games, so they'll do without him. But, I mean, I don't think they're going to miss too much there, Villarreal. But a goal should flow. 2-2 draw, maybe? Let's get on the overs again.
West Ham Freiburg is our only money line pick here. 1:45 Eastern again on Thursday. West Ham, I've been backed a little bit. Freiburg are the outsiders. They've got a 1-0 advantage from the first leg. I think West Ham probably should have had a penalty late on in the game, but they've only won 2 of the last 12 in all competitions. However, Will White, ladies and gentlemen, still wants to back West Ham, I believe. Will, talk us through this one, because there's not going to be too many. Even West Ham fans will think that their side are worth backing at minus money.
Yeah, this is not a typical style play for me. But I just fancy it. It's not often you see a price like this, which kind of aligns with where I think it should be priced from a model perspective. You've essentially got this kind of must-win factor in your favor, which does have some sort of value. I'll get onto that later. I fancy them to come back here. They were kind of unlucky in the first leg. It was a very, very equal game, looking at the underlying data, and they lost 1-0. And I think there are three factors, really, that are playing into this pick. The first is that these two played in the group stage, and West Ham won that game 2-0. They went off a similar price to the price that they're currently trading at for this game. It was a fairly comfortable win, and I can see similar here. The second factor is game state. West Ham need to win here. And whilst that might seem like quite a basic or square argument, the data does show that the must-win factor in these European knockout ties is worth about a tenth of a goal. And that might not seem like very much, but a tenth of a goal is quite a big edge when it comes to soccer betting. And the third
is that just based on historical data, Will, when you compare and contrast at regular prices in a league game rather than against regular prices in a knockout situation?
Yeah, it's based off closing line versus where you would typically expect the line to close, but then also, you know, the underlying data from the results of the games themselves show that there is an uplift in performance by about 0.1 goals. So you've got those two factors that play into this play, but also I can't help but think when you look at the quality of these starting 11s, no disrespect to Freiburg, but at a very basic level, West Ham are just the better team here, and they've got the better players in every position. You know, if you look at, you know, Jared Bowen is a better striker slash false nine than Roland Salai. Lucas Paqueta, Mohamed Kudus, James Ward-Prowse, better playmakers than Vincenzo Grifo, Lucas Hola, Edson Alvarez, Thomas Suchek, better holding midfielders than Niklas Höfler and Maximilian Eggestein. I mean, pretty much every position you go through, bar maybe Ritsu Doan and Matthias Ginter, proven internationals for Freiburg, you've got to give the edge to West Ham in pretty much every position. Add on top of that home advantage, add on top of that the fact that they need to win, add on top of that the fact that they won 2-0 in the group stages. I think it just all aligns for West Ham being a little bit of value here. What I will say is in the first leg here, the line was drawn a bet, I believe, and Freiburg got backed in, actually. And they got backed in despite West Ham playing full strength 11. So there may be a scenario here where money comes for Freiburg on the plus three quarter Asian handicap line. Although I just think that game state might put the syndicates off here. And so, yeah, I'm kind of torn on that. But yeah, overall, West Ham to win, minus 134.
That's the play, West Ham. To win against Freiburg, that is Thursday, 1:45 Eastern. 4 p.m. Eastern is Leverkusen against Karabag in the Europa League. Leverkusen short price favourites here at minus 625, Karabag plus 1,500, over 3.5 goals. Backers were sweating a little bit in Azerbaijan, but a very late goal for Leverkusen ensured a 2-2 draw and, of course, kept Leverkusen's unbeaten run intact for this season. It would have been remarkable if they'd have surrendered it to Karabag, but we're expecting goals once again in the return, RJ.
Yeah, it's hard not to see anything but that, Dan. Over 3.5 at minus 115 caught my eye. Karabag over the weekend had a 3-1 win domestically and Bayer Leverkusen 2-0 against Wolfsburg. Yeah, the first leg was pretty intense. I mean, you look at the XG here and when they were in Baku, Karabag had a 2.37 XG and Bayer Leverkusen at 0.84. I'm not a big XG guy. To me, that's like, it's just metrics. I think there are, it just showed the quality of chances that Karabag had generally at, you know, against a very strong side that we look at domestically and say, you know, arguably one of the strongest sides in Europe this season. So it was quite impressive. And they were lucky, as you said, to sneak through with the draw because of the Patrick Schick late goal in the 91st and 92nd minute. So the tie coming back to Bay Arena is going to be interesting. I mean, I'm curious, too, on lineups here because I know Zaka, Florian Wirtz, even Patrick Schick started on the bench for Bayer Leverkusen in the first leg here. So it'll be interesting to see. I would imagine they'll have a different lineup for this second leg, especially with it being a draw heading in. It's a clean slate, but, you know, Both sides are lethal, and I expect you know, a few goals in the first half. I think looking at over 1.5 first half, I think it was minus 105 or 115. Normally, if I'm backing over 1.5 in the first half, it has to be a pretty decent plus number play, right? Value play, and I don't know if there's great value there, but for a full game, give me 90 plus minutes with these two sides, and I like goals for sure again in the second leg. With, you know, I expect Bayer Leverkusen to advance because of their strong form at home, but this this is the type of match where it's like, remember Sheriff in the Champions League where they shock some teams? This could be, don't bet it, right? Just more of a hypothetical long shot that Karabag advances here, but it wouldn't be the biggest shock in my life.
This is the biggest price for both teams to score, yes, in the Europa League on Thursday night. It's minus 108 with BetRivers, and I did look at it because for some reason this Karabag side seems to have got better over the winter break. I don't get it. They never actually looked that great to me before Christmas, but they seem bang on it after. I mean, they nearly beat Leverkusen.
Mm. Yeah, they're 7-1 to qualify. Will, are you worried about your anti-post Leverkusen play?
Not really. I do agree. Yeah. Karabag, going under the radar, they certainly were impressive against Braga and in the first leg here. I like Karabag. I think they're a good team, but Leverkusen at home, really. I mean, and they will play the big guns. Florian Wirtz will start this game. You would think Patrick Schick will start the game. Well, actually, maybe not, because Borja Iglesias is kind of, you know, those two are much of a muchness, really. But like, they'll start first strength 11, and I think they'll go through 3-1. Let's say.
RJ, do you want to throw your shot on target bet as an official play or not? You sort of put it on the WhatsApp group and you're umming and ahhing about it. What would be the play if someone was looking for a shots play?
Yeah. If you're looking for a shots play here in the in this tournament,
over 10.5.
Yeah, over 10.5. That was kind of why I hesitated a bit. I mean, it does make sense. I mean, you look at shots on target, but for both these sides, at average for 8 matches in this competition, it's 12.6. I mean, it does have the makings of high shot potential. I mean, like I said, I expect a lot of action here in front of the net. And, you know, Bayer Leverkusen, I would expect to see around 8-9 shots on target, and I'd expect 3+ from Karabag. And, I don't know. 10.5 is, if this was 9.5, I'd be all over it. 10.5, I'm a little more hesitant, but I could see 12, 13 shots on target here in this match for sure.
Brighton versus Roma, next up, 4 p.m. Thursday, Eastern. Brighton -115. Minus money favourites to beat Roma, who are +290 now. Brighton fell apart, Steve, at the Stadio Olimpico last Thursday. They were awful, and they lost 4-0. But they're minus money favourites to at least win the second leg. They're +1,700 to qualify. Roma and no offers. I mean, what do we think? I mean, are Brighton a value at a shade minus money here, or is it just money line you'd rather forget and concentrate elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the goals here, and Will had a really good bet on the show last week, over 2.5 goals. It's probably, I think, probably the best bet of the whole show, really. The line was way too low. He was spot on with that, but it's only gone up by a quarter here. It's over 2.75 now is the line we can get. So I'm very happy to get involved in this because, I mean, Brighton is very similar to the Villarreal game for me. Brighton obviously have to score at least 4 goals to have any chance of qualifying. It's a long shot and they're almost certainly knocked out, but Roberto De Zerbi will not go down without a fight, will he? -120 for over 2.75 goals just looks a really good situational spot here. It's interesting, isn't it? What's happened to Brighton? Because, I mean, all I was seeing after the match last week was, I mean, obviously he's still one of the big favourites to become the next Liverpool manager. He's probably one of the favourites to be the next Man United manager and several other big clubs in Europe, really. He's got a great reputation, but has his style at Brighton at least been found out a bit? Because that's what happened in this first leg, really. Roma took advantage tactically. Brighton were very naive. Which you might expect. Roma do have a lot more European pedigree. And, you know, they got the job done. It's probably enough to see them through to the next round. And but, I mean, just for me, I wouldn't take Brighton at minus money because they might completely self-destruct. They've lost some really weird teams this year by a big margin. So just looking at the goals and, if I'm going to give a score, I'll say 2-2 again. But it just feels like it should be quite an open tie right from the first minute.
Will, we're doubling up on this play, aren't we? What have you got to add?
Yeah, there's lots of things I want to say about this bet. The first thing I'll say is comparing this to the Villarreal Marseille tie, the very similar situations we had overs in both games last week, and I'm only taking overs in this game this week. First of all, Steve mentioned it. The line here has only gone up by a quarter of a goal. The line in the Villarreal tie has gone up by half a goal. So, you know, that kind of wrote off the Villarreal Marseille overs in terms of a bet for me. I still like it, but couldn't pull the trigger. The second thing is, you just know that De Zerbi's going to kind of fancy this. De Zerbi, they rested quite a few key players over the weekend in the Premier League. You know he's going to go full strength. You know he's going to go full throttle. Marcelino Villarreal, they went full strength over the weekend. Would not be surprised if he kind of gave up on that tie. So I much prefer the overs here. Weirdly, a lot of money came for unders in the first leg here, despite the line being 2.5. You could actually get pretty much even money on over 2.5 in the first leg, just before kickoff here. It was ridiculous, but you know, I'm sure unders bettors are licking their wounds now. I'm not sure if they'll be back for more in this second leg. There was over 4 total XG generated in that very open first game. Roma, I mean, I've got a feeling that the markets are still thinking that Roma are managed by Jose Mourinho, because since De Rossi took over, 10 of 11 over 2.5. Their last 3 league games, a 2-2 draw versus Fiorentina, over or under line was 2.25 there. A 4-1 win versus Monza, over and under line 2.5 there. And a 3-2 win versus Torino, over or under line 2.25. Add on top of that the 2.5 line from the first leg of this tie last week. And it's, yeah, just, I still think there's a huge opportunity with Roma to get on their overs. I'm kicking myself I didn't get on their overs at the weekend versus Fiorentina. They're transitioning from a defensive-minded coach Mourinho to an attack-minded, passionate local hero De Rossi. And I think, you know, add De Zerbi champing at the bit to come back from a 4-0 deficit, and it's got to be a recipe for overs, surely.
Yeah, I think it passes the eye test, RJ, as well for me, the way that Roma play. You know, they scored in the 90th minute in that 2-2 draw with Fiorentina. They're scoring late goals, they're scoring early. Passionate fan base. There'll be plenty at the Amex as well for this one. I mean, it does seem like a bit of a no-brainer overs, doesn't it?
It does. I definitely considered it here. Obviously, both Will and Steve on it. It wasn't like Marseille last week where we're all in tune and it came through. I expect, I expect this to be quite the open match. And like the boy said, you know, Marseille over does look good again for the second leg, but a little shy away from a half a goal increase here. And yeah, maybe Brighton does it. I don't know. I don't have all the faith in them, but both sides over 2.5 looks lovely.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice narrative. I'm sure I was reading last week that De Zerbi and De Rossi's kids, don't they go to the same college or something like that in London? There's some really nice sort of storylines between these two. It's going to be a decent game, good atmosphere, one suspects, but hopefully goals. Liverpool, Sparta, Prague, 4 p.m. Thursday for us. Next, Liverpool, short price favourites, -345. Sparta, Prague, +750 here. Draw, +525. It was odd when we talked about this game last week because I think half of us wanted to fade Liverpool. Then the lineup came out and Liverpool were just brilliant. And I think myself and RJ were saying, look, you know, if Liverpool do put strong, it could be one of the best of the week. And it was a very easy win on the money line. And although they've got a game in the FA Cup at the weekend, RJ, I mean, even Liverpool's second string seem to be firing on all cylinders here. You have got an overs play, but it's not an overs total. It's a team total. Talk us through your bet.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a slightly uncomfortable, but one that I'm confident in. I like Liverpool team total over 2.5 at -127. Liverpool had a very tight affair, arguably, in my opinion. I think they should have came out with a victory yesterday against Manchester City. They went full strength, obviously. Sparta over the weekend lost 4-0 to Plzen domestically. They did have a red card in the beginning of the second half, but they looked awful. I watched some of the game, to be honest. And, you know, this reminds me a little bit, you know how I called the under 3.5 in the Manchester City match, where I was like, well, it's the second leg. They have a big cushion. I don't expect Copenhagen to do much. That goalkeeper was horrendous. Outside of that, I wanted to take a different approach here because, yes, they have an FA Cup match upcoming at Manchester United on the weekend. They have plenty of a lead, so they don't necessarily – they're going to rotate. But, again, as you stated, Dan, this second team is arguably, you know, most first teams in other countries, especially in, you know, Czech Republic. And honestly, I liked the look of, I was looking at over 3.5, but I went over 2.5 because I could see a 3-0 Liverpool win here. And I didn't like the chances of 4+ again, just because I, you know, like I did against Manchester City versus Copenhagen, I don't expect Sparta to get on the board. I have a hard time seeing them contribute here. Liverpool's just too strong. I mean, maybe with the rotation that could be possible, but they'll use the depth. And I think they have a lot of talent, and then the offensive capabilities here, you know, people, again, I say this before, but people pay money. They're not just going to come lay an egg because they have a lead, right? They're going to put on a show. And I expect Sparta to go for it, obviously, which is going to create gaps, and Liverpool will take advantage of them. I could see 2-0 at halftime and maybe a late third sometime in the middle of the second half for this to cash.
Will, what's going to happen to the Liverpool price if Lewis Kumar starts, if Jen Dan starts, if Ben Doak starts? I mean, the price went wild when we saw a strong team last week. I mean, I presume it's going to be weak, but what do you think the market might do when that 11 gets announced on Twitter an hour and a quarter before kickoff?
I mean, obviously, the market's going to be very sensitive to Liverpool team news. It won't be an hour and a quarter before kickoff, though. It'll be probably 10 a.m. On day of
the game. You're suggesting it gets leaked? It gets leaked in this day and age.
Yeah, the Liverpool team certainly gets leaked. But I believe Ben Doak's out, injured, but Kumas and Dan...
I was just looking for young players on the squad list here. I've got no idea if they're fit or not.
I think the X factor is Salah, right? Because he didn't start against City. He looked incredibly sharp. Yeah. His international break after the cup game. So Salah may start, which would be crazy. And Liverpool fans will be shouting from the rooftops if he does, but he could. So, you know, if you're looking at Salah, Gakpo, and maybe Dan's, or Salah, Gakpo, and Kumas, or, you know, Harvey Elliott starts every game these days and is looking insanely sharp. The line's high, though. Like, the team total, 2.5. Then is it 2.5, is it, RJ? That the line?
2.5, over 2.5, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the market's kind of, after last week, it's caught up to the fact that Liverpool... You know, even Liverpool's kids are very, very good. I'll be giving this match a miss, but the market is going to be sensitive to the team news. Yes,
Steve, quick word on this one before we move on.
I can't get involved till I know the lineup. I mean, I tweeted last week when I saw. I was shocked how strong Liverpool were, and I said, you know, on the show that I recommend to lay them, but I would like don't do that now. I would look at the. Over goal line, is it 3.5, 3.75? Prague have got to go for it, haven't they? So I would look at that. But equally, no team wants to be completely embarrassed on aggregate, do they? So it could be a damn.
I just keep thinking there's one of these Liverpool games is going to go against them. I mean, I've backed against them a few times recently. I thought, you know, looked at the XG situation with the Southampton game, the cup game, that didn't go for me. And again, I was looking to fade them against Sparta Prague in half an hour, and we all knew our fate. There's going to be one game where it doesn't click for the youngsters. It might be this one. But then, and we said this exactly the same last week, it is Liverpool. And if they're any sort of price, you'd want to sort of side with them. So, I don't know. You pay your money, you take your chance. I think this is a fair bet from RJ. Team total over 2.5 minus 127. One more game to preview. We're in Conference Corner. It's a solitary game to take a look at. Steve's taking a trip to Conference Corner here. Maccabi Tel Aviv. Against Olympiacos. I'm very surprised, Steve, you were to revisit this particular tie, but you are. Maccabi Tel Aviv plus 170, Olympiacos plus 150. We're hoping for a miracle from the Greek side here for our outright bet. But what's your play for this tie, Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern?
I think you've got to tackle your demons head on, Dan, in life, and I'm doing that here. Let's address the elephant in the room. This show is probably starting at minus one units, isn't it? Because Olympiacos to qualify looks dead in the water. And I'll tell you a funny story about this last week, because in the early games, I was actually at a parents' evening with my oldest daughter. And, you know, I've got breaks in between seeing teachers. So I was having a cheeky look at the scores. And after 10 minutes, I looked and saw Maccabi Tel Aviv 2-0 up. And it was one of those sick to your stomach moments where, you know, a big gulp and, I was like, whoa, what's going on here? And I sat down.
Did the maths teacher get a bit of a broadside for you after that?
Well, I sat down. It was I had an appointment with the RE teacher next. And generally, the lady said, are you all right there? You look a bit overwhelmed. And, you know, I felt like saying to her, no, I'm not all right. My cover until I leave a 2-0 up, love.
She was like, what?
I think I looked a bit white as a ghost, you know? So it was a horrible moment. And, you know, I can't believe what I got this one completely wrong. I've really actually underestimated both the Israeli sides. I thought Maccabi Haifa put up a good fight against Fiorentina as well. So I don't know what's going on, but look, Robbie Keane is the manager of Maccabi Tel Aviv. He was on the Leeds bench last year under Sam Allardyce, of all places. And I suppose, really, when you think about it, a Robbie Keane side is going to be quite offensive. And I think they won this match in the first 10 minutes. They came to Greece and had a really good go. Surprised Olympiacos. Even top sides down the years would just want to ride out the storm there in the first 20 minutes. But they did the completely opposite. They've got the old dog, Zahavi, up front, who scores a ton of goals wherever he goes. Yeah. I mean, he's knocking on nearly 40 now, isn't he? But he's so good positionally. He places himself in some great spots. I'm going to back over 2.75 goals in the second leg. I'm going to try and get my money back here, Dan. Olympiacos have to score 3 goals at least to have any chance of qualifying. So I think they'll give it a good go. It's played at a neutral venue in Serbia, like I mentioned last week, at Baka Topola, TSC Arena. And, you know, Olympiacos have got to go for it. Maccabi Tel Aviv have showed they're lethal on the break. And I was quite impressed with Robbie Keane's tactical prowess, to be honest. I've really underestimated them. So fair play to them. But hopefully I can get my money back by getting at least 3 goals here, which would be a half win. I thought the goal line would be 3 or maybe even 3.25, considering the match state, Dan. So we'll go for more goals here in Serbia for the second leg.
Over 2.75 goals at -112 is the play in that Maccabi Tel Aviv Olympiacos second leg Thursday, 4 p.m. in the Conference League. Let's wrap things up with some best bets. Plenty of plays from the boys. It was a very profitable week last week. Let's hope for the same this time around. Steve, what's your best bet across the Thursday European card?
Yeah, the same as last week. Villarreal Marseille match over 3 Asian goals for me at -122.
Will, what's your best play?
It's Brighton Roma over 2.75, -117.
RJ, what's your favoured pick when it comes to the Thursday action?
I like Slavia Prague, AC Milan over 2.75 at -115.
Those are the best picks. We've given you plenty to ponder over the course of the last 40 minutes or so. Hopefully, if you're tailing, we can give you some profit. That wraps up Betting Weekly Extra Time, Europa League and Conference League edition. Many thanks to Steve, Will and RJ. Stay up to date with all of the content from the Betting Weekly team on our YouTube channel. From all of us for now, though, it is goodbye.